have, I want to go straight into the Word. Hebrews, okay, thank you. Don't need this anyway. We want to talk about running with or standing with champions. Here's a scripture that I'd like to use. Is this given to me? Mine? No. You sure it's not mine? No. I still prefer my notes. I don't trust your laptop. Thanks, Ravi. Ravi was giving me his own sermon, but... Okay, verse 1. I like this translation, all right? Can we read it together? Everybody ready with the Word? Okay, let's read this together. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Many, 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 many years ago, in fact, around 435-39 BC, there was a battle between the Persians and the Greeks. Now, the Persian king at that time was Artaxerxes. Now, if you know anything about the name Artaxerxes, you read your Bible, you will find that name there, which helps us to understand that the Christian faith is a historical, factual thing. It is not something that we just cook up. They are historical records. All right, you can check all these things. This is history. It is also in your Bible, which means that you can always go and verify whether what the Bible says is true or not. Now, by the way, we are going to Israel. Pastor Lifan and I were talking about going on the trip, and I think we said we are getting a little bit too old for this. So this is possibly the last trip that we will be organizing. Now, you can still go for other trips, other years, but you'll have to go with a different group. We can always arrange for that, all right? But if you cannot make it, don't feel bad. But what we are saying is, it's getting very tiresome, all right, to get all the people together and all of that. And we are all getting older. Amen. All right, thank you. All right. So anyway, there is this battle that took place between the Persians and the Greeks. And what happened was, you know, of course, their ships came in to a place called Marathon. And when they landed at that place, there was a great battle. The battle was called the Battle of Marathon. And so the Greeks won. And now that's historical. And then there comes a legend. Now, a legend is something that you don't know whether it is true or not, like the legend of Robin Hood. Whether it's true, whether there was such a person or not, we don't know, all right? This is not mythology, it's legend. Now, the legend of the Greeks say that they gave a message to a young guy by the name of Philippidetes and told him to go with the news to Athens and give them the message that Greece had won the battle. So he ran 26 miles, which is 41.8 kilometers. That's why you have the race called the marathon. And the marathon is actually 42 kilometers long, or, a long run. The guy who won the World Series three times is a guy by the name of Eliud Kipchoge from Kenya. Now, remember these names, because when you go to heaven, they're going to ask you. the last time he won it was in Berlin, 2018, and it was the fastest time, 2 hours and 1 minute for 42 kilometers. Now, Kong Seng here can easily do it in 2 hours and maybe 30 minutes. For me, with my physique and everything, I think I'll possibly do it 2.3 weeks. All right, but that's a long run. Now, people say that life is not a 100-meter race, it's a marathon. But I like to disagree with that simply because life is more challenging than a marathon, in the sense that in a marathon, you know that at the end of 42 kilometers, there's a ribbon waiting for you. You know exactly the distance that you're supposed to run. You also know how to time yourself so that you know the timing with which you will finish. All right? It may not be like Hong Seng's time. It may be like my time. But you know exactly how long this race is going to take with you. Come on. Is that right? But when it comes to real life, life is not a marathon because all of us have got a different race. That's why it says, let us run the race that is set for each one of us. Each of us have got a different race. Some of our races would go very, very long in the sense that we will run many, many years. I've already 66 years old this year. Hallelujah. Certain parts of me cannot run as fast as before, but 60 years of doing this marathon, and I do not know where the finish line is. Some of us will run even longer, 70, 80 years, but we do not know. The point is, we are all who are sitting here this morning in a race. We just don't know when that race is going to end. Is that right? Now, in this race, the Bible tells us we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, which simply means all the people that have gone on before us, all the champions of faith, those who have run the race successfully. So over the next few Sundays or so, you know, whenever I'm preaching for the next few Sundays, I will be talking more about the different individuals who will come out of the stands or by the side of the road, because it starts in the stadium and then we go on into the highways. And it's going to be a long race of faith, all right? And as you run down the highways, there are people all lined up along the highways. The Bible talks about them as being a cloud of witnesses, every one of them standing along the sides of the road just to give us encouragement when we really need encouragement. So this morning, we want to get the first person out from the stands to come and talk to us, stop us, so that we can stand with this champion and start to talk with him, because he wants to encourage us this morning. Amen? All right. So the first person we're going to talk about is this guy by the name of Noah. How many of you have heard of Noah? All right. Let's go to the scripture. Do we have a scripture? That's Noah. They took a picture of him, you know, after the flood kind of thing. All right. So that's Noah. And let's look at the scripture. God saw that human evil was out of control. People thought evil, imagined evil, 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 evil from morning to night. God was sorry that he had made the human race in the first place. It broke his heart. God said, I'll get rid of my ruined creation. Make a clean sweep. People, animals, snakes, bugs, birds, the works. I'm sorry I made them. Is there any more scripture? But Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. Or Noah was a pleasure to the Lord. That good? God saw what he liked, or he liked what he saw in Noah. Now, if we were to ask Noah, what's your message to us? Noah's number one message to us would simply be this. You alone can make a difference. You can make a difference. I want you to understand that the whole earth at that time, the living population, was filled with evil, evil, evil. And yet there was one person who stood out. Just one. And that one person changed the destiny of mankind. So I'd like to suggest a few things. He would say to us, number one, you can make a difference to your families. Is that right? You can make a difference to your families. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, it says this. Do we have the first point up there? First point. Make a difference to our families. Put the scripture up. Genesis 7 and verse 1. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Now, I want you to try to understand something. God finds one man righteous. He didn't say, I find your family righteous. He just said, I find you, Noah, righteous. I like what I see in you. And the you determine the difference in your family. He didn't say, I see you are righteous and your wife is righteous and your children are righteous and their wives are righteous. Noah had three sons. All three sons were married. There were eight people who entered the ark, but only Noah was righteous. Are you following me? Following with my train of thought, right? Now, sometimes we feel, oh, God, you know, Pastor, my family, I don't know why. They are all like this. They are all like that. You know, I don't know what is happening. And I don't know whether they'll all get saved or not. Now, the main thing for you to understand is if you continue to be righteous, that gives protection to the family. However, they are not saved until you bring them into the ark. Just say they belong to my family is not good enough. You've got to get them into the ark. Whether they are righteous or not, whether they are good enough. That's why we thank God for the ark, which is Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. They don't have to be as righteous as Noah to get into the ark, but they can come because Noah has brought them into the ark. Are you following with me? Now, there was a woman in the Bible. She didn't have a very nice character. Her name, in fact, is Rahab. Have you heard of Rahab? Rahab was a prostitute, and God was about to destroy the entire city of Jericho, and she lived in Jericho. So God said, listen, I want to spare you because you have been good to my people. I will spare you. However, all you have to do is put a little cord outside your home, and anybody found out inside your home will be spared. Those outside of the home will be destroyed. So what does she do? She goes out and she convinces her entire family. Now remember, she does not have a very convincing character in the first place. But somehow she manages to bring her entire household into that house. Whether they are righteous, they were supposed to be destroyed. Just like my family, just like some of our families, they're all meant to be destroyed. But because we remain righteous and we continue to believe that we can bring them into the ark. Come on now. Amen. They don't have to be as good as me. You know, the sad part about it was, there was another person in the Bible who was righteous. The Bible calls him, in 2 Peter, righteous Lot. But somehow, Lot could not get his own family into the ark, so to speak. God was about to destroy the entire city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he could not bring them in. And the thing is, he was righteous, but yet at the same time, it's like when he spoke to his sons-in-laws about the coming judgment, they thought he was joking. That's what the Bible says. Now think about that for a while. You know, with my friends, pastor friends and all that, I like to joke a lot because I think pastors need to relax. Relax. Because they are too stressed out. Like I told you, when I went to the hospital to have a total medical checkup, the doctor immediately, when he found out I was a pastor, gave me a stress test. Because on his list, number one, stressed out people are pastors. Seriously, that's what he told me. He says, that's why I must give you, pastor, because you guys are always stressed out. I said, not me. I enjoy life. In fact, you can use me to measure people, but he says, I like to joke around with my pastor friends and all that. And sometimes they go like, hey, you serious or not? I told Pastor Christoph Blom, we were out in, Myanmar or somewhere, Pastor Allen was there, and we were sitting and we were talking. And somehow, I don't know how the conversation went, and I said, you know, Texas grows rice and they export it to Indonesia. He laughed, just like some of you laughing now. Come on. I said, no, I'm serious. He said, no, man, come on. How can Texas grow rice and then you're talking about exporting it to Indonesia? No such thing. I said, brother, I stayed on the farm of this guy. I went to the farm of this guy. He was a board member of one of the big churches in Texas. And he was voted the best farmer in Texas. He has got miles of rice. So they don't go and plant rice. They fly a plane and drop the seeds, okay? And then he floods the field up and he also rears crawfish. So there's a big harvest of crawfish and wonderful harvest. He says, you're joking, man. And so, you know, he said, I'll Google. And true enough, he came back the next day and said, hey, they grow rice in Texas, man. And I said, why didn't you believe me? He says, because you're joking all the time. We don't know when you are serious. You're joking all the time. And maybe that's why Lot's sons-in-laws thought he was joking. You know, it's nice to joke. It's nice to have fun with people. But at certain times, we've got to really get down to serious business. Now, in church, all of you think I'm very serious. That's why I often say to parents with little kids, don't bring your child up to me, please. Because they see me here scolding people. And then you come and say, hey, pastor, my little child. And of course, the child starts screaming. They get frightened. Give me a chance. I'll slowly get to become friends with them. And you know I love kids, so, you know. But And I told Christoph Blom, I said, you know, what's wrong with you? He's every time he says, I'll Google this, what you said. I'll Google that. He says, sometimes I feel like slapping you where Google can't find you. What is it that convinces our family to let them know that we are so serious about them and we want them to get saved? But we can make a difference. See, if we would only remain true to God and His Word, come on now. Somehow there were things in Noah's life that God was happy with. And the Bible says it very clearly. If we want our prayers to be answered, which brings me to the commercial break, Tuesday night we have Bible study. Now please come. Some of us need to learn to understand what prayer is all about. And we don't just pray, don't just talk about prayer, we also pray. So learn to pray so that you can get answers to prayer. Listen to me and listen very carefully. God does nothing except His people pray. If you want God to be involved in your life, man, I'm telling you something. We have seen so many answers to prayer. Amen? God has answered prayer miraculously. We have seen so many things happen. It's unbelievable. My entire life is built upon this one principle that God listens to me when I talk to Him. And you need to know how to pray. Amen? Okay. Now, anyway, as we come back to this one, we're talking about praying and getting out people into the family, praying that God would save them, praying. We have to remain righteous before God. Come on, amen, all right? So you can make a difference in your families. Number two, very quickly, we can make a difference for the future generation. We can make a difference, next point, please, for the future generation. Now, because Noah was faithful, because of this one man, the entire human race has been spared. Otherwise, this would have been called the late great planet Earth. The whole planet would have been wiped out, okay? But God decided to save planet Earth because of one man. Because of what he did, you and I are now sitting here. We got to see the whole plan of God, how Jesus came to die for all our sins. All these things happened because of one man. Come on, amen. Sometimes we think, you know, everybody has to become a certain, you know, good, or then only things can change. We are believing that, you know, everybody must be like us, so we must all be righteous Christians, then things can change. I'll tell you something. Let me ask you a question. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Why?
Sin. It was sin. Homosexuality.
That's why God destroyed. Can I defer with you and say the reason why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah was because He could not find 10 righteous men. He said, I will not destroy the city if I can find 10 righteous men. So it is finding righteous people. If He can find them, you know what's going to happen in the world when the rapture takes place? Destruction. Why? Because we are the salt of the earth. And when the salt of the earth is taken out, corruption comes in almost instantly. When light is taken away, then darkness comes in. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And if we are taken out of this world, instant destruction. The reason why the world is held together right now is because there's a church of Jesus Christ made up of people all around the world who are praying and believing and trusting God. And that's why God's holding the world together. Come on, amen. If I can find 10 righteous people, I will not destroy it. So in order to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He had to take one man out, Lot. As long as Lot was inside, the fire could not fall. That's why the angels had to hurry him out. Come on out, drag him by the hand, take them out of the city, both him, his wife, and his daughters. Drag them all out. The wife didn't want to go. She turned into a pillar of salt. That's beside the point. The point was, even the daughters were not righteous. Lot's daughters were not right. Only one man. And for that one man, God waited until he got out of the city. Then the entire city was destroyed. No future. But as long as there is one person righteous, come on, amen, you and your household shall be saved. Our whole future generations. You know, sometimes I go to meetings and they preach like, you know, if you sin, then your sin will be visited upon the third, fourth generation. That thing is no longer in play now. It's gone. It's finished. Because the Bible also says that if you are righteous, God will visit you up to 1,000 generations. Why don't people preach on that one? Up to 1,000 generations, you shall be blessed. Come on, say amen. If we are just righteous before God, our future, there's great future. You can make a difference in your family. Number three, you can make a difference to the faithless. You can make a difference to the faithless. Think about this. We often limit ourselves to our talent, intelligence, or our experience or expertise. Noah had no experience in building boats. Come on. Absolutely none. You have seen the little advertisement, the little thing that people often send to one another. The Titanic was built by experts. The word Titanic simply means extremely or absolutely big, strong, powerful Titanic. So we use, you know, that thing is Titanic. It's big. It's immense. Built by expert. It sank. Noah had no experience whatsoever in building boats. And yet God called him to do it. Sometimes God deliberately removes our talents, puts us in a place where our talents cannot be used so that we can depend upon him. The man who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, a Jew, I mean, in every sense of the word, his name was Paul. Well, what does God do? Takes him and makes him apostle to the Gentiles, where his talent and his ability and all these things could not be used. Why? So that Paul would now depend upon God. You know, that's what God's calling. The message to us, Noah would say to us this. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have the experience. You don't have to have, you know, all the things that in order to succeed in life. How many of you know that Sister Ellen here can play the piano, guitar, drums? She can do drama, dancing. She does ballet. How many of you know that? Y'all don't know. Huh? Ask after us. She can do all these things. No, man, she doesn't know any of these things, I think. But she's running a successful music academy. Come on. How is this possible? Not because Matthew can do ballet. Maybe he does, I don't know. But the point is, if she said to herself, I cannot play piano, how to open music school? I cannot do ballet, how to start ballet academy? I cannot do this. Now, if you depended upon what you can do and then try to do it, most often you will succeed minimally. But when you begin to understand that with God I can do anything, I'm willing to step out, I can make a difference in this field. I mean, I would never have thought that Ricky would be in charge of this academy, music academy thing. You know, I mean, totally different field. A man who's been handling tractors, now handling pianos. Totally different field. But the point is, how many of you know some of your children who went to university to study a certain thing, they come out, they don't want to do that anymore? God, not. Oi. Oh, but that's what they should be. Then they come out, they are not doing it. Listen. So don't give excuses to those of us who don't have faith and we begin to think, oh, I cannot do this and I cannot do that. Here's a message from Noah. You don't have to have it all together. And also Noah speaking to some of us older ones. Hey, I was 600 years old when I entered the ark, man. What's your excuse? Huh? 480 years old when I started to build that ark? Of course, he had to hire all kinds of people to build it. And the thing about the story is this. To build an ark that size, you had to have help, right? And the people that built the ark never entered the ark. That's sad. You can get so close and miss it all. They were involved in the building of the ark, but they never entered the ark. That's sad, isn't it? So the message to those who are faithless, he's saying to us, listen, you're never too old to believe God has got plans for you. When I preach to pastors, many of them are, they look much older than me. In fact, some of them look real much older. Some of them have been much older and they're talking about, well, it's time to retire. I said, no, pastors don't retire, man. They refire. They get caught again on fire. Go catch fire again. We talk about a song just now. We sang, give me new fire. I'm putting out the old flames. I want something new. Come on. Have a burning heart. Here is Caleb standing before Joshua and saying, hey, give me this mountain. But you're already an old man. You're already 80 years old. He says, man, I may be 80 on the outside, but inside I'm still 40. Because when I was 40 years old, the promise was given to me. I feel 40 inside. I'm going to go up and take a mountain. But don't just give me any mountain. Give me a mountain where there are giants. Give me a mountain that I can really take where there are some challenges in life. Come on, church. We've got to start taking challenges in life. If you are afraid, then may God help you to overcome that fear. Amen? Help you to overcome that fear. And last of all, of course, you know, we can make a difference to the Father. We can make a difference to the Father. Noah found grace in the sight of God. It's wonderful when you please the Father. He made a difference to God's heart. Because of him, God decided, I'm going to spare the human race. He pleased the Father's heart. Come on, amen. All right. Now, before Noah goes back into the crowd, here are a few things he'd like to say to us. First of all, he'd like to say, in spite of what you see, you've got to believe that God is always good. Now, remember, God is about to destroy the entire human race. Okay? He's about to destroy the entire human race. And when you read scriptures like this, you begin to think, what a bad God he is. When you read of some of the judgments that he threw out on the people, you begin to think that God is bad. Now, one of the things you must always understand in the race of life is you must always believe that God is good in spite of what you're going through. No matter how tough the race you are running, no matter how hard, how difficult it may be, always remember, I always say these three things to know about God. One, God is sovereign. He is God. He has the right to choose and do what he wants to do, and we shouldn't be questioning him. Why you do like that? We can question his wisdom. Just like a child questions the wisdom of a parent. When the parent says no, the child goes, why? Parent don't go, oh, you don't love me anymore. Some children will go like that, huh? I hate you. Parent doesn't, because the parent loves, the parent does what they have to do. Gain the child. You know, child, this hurts me more than it hurts you, no? Okay, let's change places. It's hurting, but sovereign. God is wise. He knows what he's doing. Come on. Aren't you glad that your nose is created this way and not the other way around? Imagine the amount of water you collect. Now itself with the thing, I've got a running nose. How many of you have heard that? Huh? I've got a running nose. Yeah, why do we use terms like that? Huh? Have you ever thought about this? I think I'm catching a cold. Why are you running hard enough? You want to catch it? Eh? I'm going to catch a cold. Run fast enough, you will. So God is wise all of the time. And God is good all of the time. There is not one evil thing inside of him. Everything that he does is good. So Noah would say to us, remember, God is good. Number two, never be afraid to take a stand alone. Everybody else was going that direction. Noah decided he was going to go this direction. Nothing is said about his family. Possibly they were also in that direction. Only Noah pleased God. Only Noah found grace in the sight of God. So even if the entire family is against you, stand firm. You can make a difference and you can stand alone. Doesn't matter. Come on, amen. This girl was in our church when we were just saved. You know, she was the most beautiful girl in the church. She had the most beautiful hair. Went way down to her, you know, way down. And she was like the Pied Piper with children. She'd go out on the road, and then when she came back, she'd have about 15, 20 children following her, coming for Sunday school, go and collect kids on the street. I was just a young believer at that time. I'll never forget. Our church was a smaller church than this, and I was just a young believer, and she would come and sit with all the children. I'll never forget the day where her father came in with an umbrella and beat her in front of everybody. Whack, 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 and then dragged her out of the church, took her back home. Following Sunday, she came back to church bald. The mother shaved her head so that she won't go out and come to church. Came bald, put a cloth over her head, and came to church. Because of her, her entire family got saved. One of her brothers became a preacher. One person. So it doesn't matter how long it takes. If you keep believing. In my home, you all know we have 11 children. All very bad, except for one. Pastor Henry. One person. Persecuted, laughed at, mocked at. Still he kept believing. Believing, praying. We got from bad to worse, from cigarettes into drugs. I got from bad to worse into drugs, involvement in drugs. Every time he come back, he says, every time I pray for you guys become worse and worse. Huh? What's happening with you guys? Try to talk to us about Christ. Because of one man, I'm now a preacher. My brother, a younger brother is a preacher. My whole family are all saved because of one person. You can make a difference. Come on. Stand alone, even when everybody is against you. We'll talk about that in some of our other meetings as well. Never be afraid to try a new thing. Number three. Never be afraid to try a new thing. Can I hear an amen? Never built an ark before. Start something new. Try something new. Do not be afraid to start something new. Can I hear an amen? Huh? Some people are so afraid to change. Huh? Change is very difficult. But never be afraid to try a new thing. Can I hear an amen? Last of all, whenever you see the rainbow, God doesn't call it the rain's bow. He calls it his bow. When you see my bow, always remember that one person can make a difference. Every time you see a rainbow, you know that it's a covenant made for the first time with one man. Isn't that true? So when you see it, you begin to say, oh God, one person can make a difference. If you look through the Bible, you'll find lots of stories of just one. One person made the difference. One person stood out. Can I hear it? You can. If you will just be firm, stand firm in your faith, let God see that you are standing firm. You don't have to be the perfect person. It just says God saw things that he liked in Noah's life. Let God see something that he likes in your life. Can I hear an amen? And then watch God do some miraculous things for you and your household. Let's stand together, shall we? Hallelujah.